based on the data from the education and culture, Ministry of Education and Culture of Republic Indonesia, we have like around 718 local languages.
Whoa, okay. That's a lot.
A lot. So we are in the second place in the world as one.
Yay!
Moin friends, Tandem Panda here. Today I have a conversation with Desi from Indonesia and we talk about learning languages, so our journey and how we see language learning, how it becomes a habit, and also we talk about Indonesia, where Desi is from, and about the different local languages there. There are definitely many. And yeah, a little bit about exchanging the different cultures with each other. So let's go.
This is Tandem Panda, a podcast about language learning and sharing different experiences with people from around the world.
So hello everybody, today I'm joined by Desi from Indonesia. Hi Desi.
Oh, hello. Hello Nam. Wie geht's dir?
Ja, mir geht es gut, vielen Dank. Desi lernt gerade Deutsch und wir dachten, am Anfang reden wir kurz in Deutsch miteinander und wenn du keine Lust mehr hast, können wir dann während des Gesprächs dann auf Englisch umswitchen. Ja, und für den Einstieg würde ich sagen, eine einfache Übung ist, dass du kurz mal was über dich erzählst. Also, dann kommst du rein in das Deutsche. Also, Bühne frei für dich. Du musst jetzt kurz erzählen, wer du bist und so. Als Tipp.
Okay. So, ich bin Desi. Ich komme aus Indonesien und jetzt wohne ich in Yogyakarta. Yogyakarta ist eine Stadt in Java Insel. Mhm. Kennst du das?
Hauptinsel? Ist es die Hauptinsel oder die große Insel?
Ja, ich glaube schon. Aha. Aber Yogyakarta ist eine große Stadt in ich kann es sagen, dass Yogyakarta ist, Yogyakarta ist eine große Stadt in Java Island, Java Insel.
Auf der Java Insel, okay.
Genau, kennst du Yogyakarta oder?
Habe ich noch nie gehört.
Ach so,
Yogyakarta, okay.
Genau, und ich habe Englisch und Tourismus an der Universität studiert. Mhm. Und soll ich meine Hobby sagen? Was denkst du darüber?
Kannst du das wiederholen, das letzte?
Soll ich meine Hobbys sagen, oder?
Ja, gerne.
Ich meine Hobbys reden?
Ja, gerne.
Was denkst du darüber? Ah, okay. Ich habe ein paar Hobbys. Mhm. Zum Beispiel Musik hören, Filme sehen, reisen.
Was war das zweite?
Filme sehen. Ja, Filme sehen.
Ja, gucken.
Horrorfilme.
Oh, Horrorfilme.
Ah. Oh. Also ja, danke. Mhm. Ja, Horrorfilme, ich mag Horrorfilme sehr viel, ja, ich mag Horrorfilme. Und dann Reisen, Sportarten, zum Beispiel Schwimmen, ein bisschen Muay Thai, ein bisschen Pilates.
Muay Thai machst du? Also diese Kampfsportart?
Iya, Muay Thai.
Ist ja cool.
Ein
Okay.
bisschen, nur ein bisschen, ja.
Aha.
Und ja, ich habe es gesagt, schwimmen, ein bisschen Pilates auch. Und manchmal Lesson, Reisen, ich habe es gesagt, Reisen auch, ja, genau.
Wo
Das ist.
reist du gerne oder welche, was für Art von Reisen magst du gerne? Mehr Natur oder mehr Städte oder wie, was sind da deine Vorlieben?
Alle.
Alle, okay.
Natur, ja. Natur. Und dann, ja, alle.
Alle, okay.
Natur, Stadt, ja, egal.
Was ist dein Lieblingsort soweit, was du bisher besucht hast?
In Yogyakarta, wo meinst du, in Yogyakarta, oder?
Allgemein, wo du verreist bist, also welcher Ort hat dir am besten gefallen?
Also, Indonesien, zum Beispiel, ja, wir haben viele interessante Stadt hier. Yogyakarta, ja, ich mag Yogyakarta. Ist sehr schön, viele Dinge zu genießen hier. Und Bali und meine Heimat auch, ja, meine Heimat ist weit weg, aber es gibt viele schöne Dinge zu sehen, ja.
Ah, okay. Deine Heimat ist nicht in Yogyakarta, oder wo ist das?
Meine Heimat ist nie in Yogyakarta.
Aha.
Es ist in Halmahera Insel, ja, weit
Okay.
weg, ja.
Okay. Und aus Interesse, wie unterscheidet sich deine Heimat und die Stadt Yogyakarta? Viel Unterschied oder wie würdest du die Unterschiede beschreiben, wenn es welche gibt?
Oh, welcher Unterschied?
Aha. Zwischen deiner Heimat und der Stadt, wo du jetzt lebst.
Ja, meine Heimat ist ist nur ein Kleinstadt.
Kleine Stadt, okay, ja.
Ja, aber Yogyakarta ist groß. Ich habe es gesagt, Yogyakarta ist eine große Stadt, ja.
Okay, ja. Und
Okay,
ja.
ja,
Was
hast
war's?
du noch Fragen?
Ja, ich habe viele Fragen. Aber
Oder lass uns auf Deutsch, lass uns auf Englisch sprechen, oder?
wie du magst.
Okay. Ja.
Back to English.
Ja, it's fine. Ja, let's start with English. Thank you for the practice. Ja.
Yeah, but you did a great job, so.
Ja. Okay.
Need more confidence,
And
but it's great. Yeah, I could understand everything.
ja, vielen Dank.
How long have you been learning German?
Around 3 years or so. Yeah, 3 years and more, I guess. Yes. 3 years more than 3 years. Yes.
Yeah. Interesting. And why German? Why did you
Okay,
choose
why
this language?
German? Okay, why German? Because I have a plan to do a kind of work activities, social works in Germany. Yeah, that's one of the important reasons. Besides another reasons, that is like I just want to be good at another languages besides my Muttersprache and English, because I'm an English teacher, so I also want to be better, to be good at another language. Therefore, I practice German. But the important reason is that I have a plan to do a kind of work in Germany. Yes.
I see. So for this reason you start to learn language
And
and
you? Yes.
I see. Yeah.
And you, how about your journey in Germany? Can you tell a little bit?
My journey. What do you mean?
Yes, you told me before that you were born there.
Yeah.
And can you tell me a little bit about how you started everything there after you were born and so on?
Oh, that's a broad topic.
Appeal. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, where you can be more specific, or which areas or which part are you interested to
okay.
To?
Yep. So, when because you
like school or origin- how you grow up or
yes, how you grew up and then how did you start to learn German?
Ah, yeah, I grew up. That's a nice question. When I was young, really young, I didn't speak German. So I think I started learning German when I was in school.
Mm-hmm.
It was my first contact with the language. And incredibly, children learn very fast. So I can't remember very well. Somehow I ended up with being able to speak German. That's what I mean with children could learn really fast. But I think I struggled a little bit at the beginning because I didn't understand anything. But yeah, it comes naturally. And the teacher was great. So I must say I have to thank her a lot because she did extra lessons with me and with some other immigrant kids. So thanks to her and to her effort and her patience, we were able to develop this language and it becomes like a mother tongue too for us. So that's my memory with childhood in school. So thanks to this woman, I'm
You owe her
person.
A lot.
right. I owe her a lot.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to think about this now, because I seldomly think about her, but now, as you mentioned, or as I'm talking about that, good memories come back, and actually, I don't know how I could contact her. So over the years, so if I have the chance to meet her again somehow, that would be great. Yeah,
I see, that's great. Yeah, it must be great memories.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you learn languages? I mean, how do you do you have like your own habit or something in acquiring the language, the German especially?
German, I don't think I have a habit. It's, as I said, as a children, you're like a sponge. You absorb everything,
sure.
And then it's you can't do it. So, and also with English, you start a little bit later. It was more connected with school, but still compared to the speed now, I would say I learn also very fast. And now in my adult time, I think it's harder because you're not a sponge anymore, sadly. I have some habits. So habit number one is just do something every day, even if it's small, even learn some vocabulary or do some fun apps and just emerge somehow with the language. That's how I see it or do it and have fun. How about you? Or do you have any other strategies you want to share to learn languages?
Yeah, so for me, I think one of the best way for me to learn the language is that by immersing myself into the language that I learn. So for example, I immersing myself by changing the setting of my language fold into the target language. And also I listen to for example German songs every day, and also watch German movies too, not yeah. every day but like 3 times in a week, uh-huh. even though just those short movies 3 times and 4 times in a week. And also I use application, language application every day. So I use Duolingo every day. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of vocabularies. My first vocabularies, not first actually, but I got a lot of vocabularies from Duolingo. Yeah. And I keep practicing on Duolingo every day. Okay. And it's very helpful. Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you use it too?
Yeah, I use it too. It's
Yes.
My language number one ever.
Sure, me too. Yeah, I use it every day and it's really helpful for me so far. I learn German and Spanish mostly these days on this app.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun, and also, right?
Yes, very fun. And I also recommend it to my students to use this app. Like, hey guys, let's just download this and try whether this is too suitable for you to learn languages. Mm-hmm. Because I find out that this is very useful anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also once in a week, twice or three times in a week, I practice my speaking stuff with native. So for example, I have a few German friends and I also practice my German with them like twice or three times in a week. So these are my ways to my own ways to immerse myself in the languages that I learn.
That's good. I like that. because with Duolingo, you just learn the vocabulary, but the next step will be really to use it. And you do that too by talking, but just talking with people or with natives. Yeah. Do you have also a trick how you do not forget or not to forget things? Because I think that's one of my problems. If I'm learning a new phrase or word and I used it in this context and then somehow I never use it again, or later I need it but I forgot how I use it because I nearly or do not use that often. Do you have any tricks or how do you deal with that? And then for things
that
you do not forget or easily forget.
Okay, so one of my tricks not to forget things that I already learned is that it's an easy thing actually, repetition.
Oh.
So I mean like I normally repeat the things that I already learned every day.
Every day.
Okay. So yeah, every day. So for example, I don't want to move to more lessons. Mm-hmm. If I feel that, okay, I'm still not good at this lesson, I try to be more consistent with the previous lessons first. I try to memorize them well. Not well, actually, but at least like, let's say like 85% or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can move. So I repeat and repeat. Repetition is one of my way not to forget things.
Maybe that's the only
and
thing.
Yes. And yes, repetition anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I repeat what I learn every day. Yeah, we know that not every day we have like a great motivation to learn something.
Sure.
So today can be different from yesterday, can be different from tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, at least try to learn something, even though just try to learn or try to repeat something every day, even though just a little bit.
That's true. So true.
Yeah, that's my point. And based on my experiences, I think it's just from my small experiences, I have like three tips when it comes to learning language for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this can be useful too. But for me, I have three tips. They are like, I want to make sure to myself that I have a positive and good mindset about the learning process that I'm currently experiencing. Mm-hmm. So a positive mindset that I meant here is that I don't want to be afraid of making mistakes. It's fine. I put on my mindset that this, it's fine to make a mistake because it's a part of learning. So it's okay if you make a mistake sometimes or so on. It's fine because you can get improved by making mistakes. You can learn something from it. And learning language is also not an instant process. So enjoy the process anyway. Enjoy the process along the way, right?
That's beautiful. Yeah, that's the way is more important than the goal. Yeah.
Yes, and the second one is that it's crucial to have like a consistent habit of learning. So for me, it's better to learn a little bit, but I do it routinely day by day, instead of learning a lot in one day and then stop for 3 weeks and then learn again. I think it won't work. So it's better to learn a little bit, but do it routinely day by day. Yeah. And the last one is that it's also important to set our learning goals clearly. So for example, I have my goal, reaching A2 in German or B1 in German in, for example, 1 year or so on. Mm-hmm. That's my goal. And for example, and then I need to set like steps to reach this goal. So set the goal first, and by setting the goal, it's easier for you to arrange the steps to reach the goal. Setting the goal and then setting the steps to reach the goal. Mm-hmm. Yes. For me, this is also crucial.
Yeah. I think the best advice is I can't add anything.
For me, it works so far. Uh-huh. I mean, for me, those three things work so far.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, I think.
How about you?
I have the same idea or mindset like you, except with the goals. I don't set the goals because language learning for me is more like a hobby, so I don't see it like work or something that I have to reach at the specific time. I view more the progress I made during the time. That makes me happy if I see there's some progress, even if they may be small, but if I look back 2 years before, I think it's a good development. But to push you, so if you don't, if that's somehow not your hobby, you really enjoy or do that for fun, I think setting goals is really important. So really have that. Maybe the question of why you're doing this, and because you want to have reach a specific goal at a specific time, and give you a little bit of pressure, not too much, because if there's too much you don't do anything, but a little pressure in the right direction, I think that's a good help. So I like that. So maybe also for me I can put it, because sometimes I also see that sometimes I lack a little bit of motivation, but if you have that consistency already in your habits, then I think it's okay. So at least if it's fun, then it works.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's also important to have like a little fun. Not a little, but much fun is also better when learning. Mm-hmm. And we have our own definition of fun, right?
Right.
And for me, learning language is not only fun. Mm-hmm. It's also I do it for work purposes, of course, but it's also part of what I love. So it's also like kind of hobby too. So both. for work and also part of my hobbies. So yeah, I try to put let's say fun stuff in learning it.
Do you have tips to
my own definition of fun?
Do you have tips to increase the fun? Or how do you do that?
Tips to increase the fun?
Yeah.
Okay, so so far it's fun already anyway.
Or maybe so, you can start what's fun for you in learning languages.
What's fun for me is that I find out a lot of similarities in languages and also differences. These things are also fun for me because learning like new knowing new things, part of learning that also can be fun. So I find out like similarities and differences of the languages that I learn. Mm-hmm. It's fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So lately also I learned a little bit Norwegian.
Oh, interesting.
Just a little bit, actually. Just want to compare. Uh-huh. And I found out the interesting fact that actually Norwegian has similarities with German.
With German, okay.
Yeah, genau. So, for example, like do, they have the same do.
Uh-huh.
And I also found out like and some other little differences. And no, sorry, I meant similarities. And I also found out that information that Norwegian is a simple form of German.
Really? Okay.
German is German is complex actually. Yeah, complex with those grammar and so on. Uh-huh. And Norwegian is the simple part of it.
Interesting.
And okay. Yeah, interesting. Therefore knowing this thing can be fun for me. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I see. Yes, so this part of by finding new interesting facts that I didn't know before, yeah, this is the definition of fun for me.
Oh, that's nice. Really like the exploring part of.
Yeah, of genau.
Language.
Yeah. Yes, like knowing things that you didn't know before.
Mm-hmm. So using your curiosity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Nice. It's really fun for me. Yeah.
That's good.
And you? What is the fun part of the language that you learn? Oh, by the way, what languages are you learning currently?
Currently, I'm learning Spanish and French. And also, I start with Japanese.
Good. Amazing. Yeah. ¿Tú hablas español?
Sí.
okay, sí. Muy bueno. Okay. How long? So what language do you focus now? I mean, which language do you spend your time mostly these days with?
These days, I think Japanese. I find it hard, but I do small things, 10 minutes each day on Duolingo.
Sure.
And yeah, I think I get a better feeling now of the sentence structure of easy sentences, of course, but still I'm not able to build my own sentences. That will be the next step. So I think I need more vocabulary. And also what takes me more time is the writing. They have another type of writing. So get used to that and try to remember that also with the new words. So it's like remembering two things, like how the word itself, how it sounds, so the vocabulary. And normally you don't make any thoughts about how it's written because it's, I don't know, in English it's sometimes it sounds different, but still you have an idea how it's written because it's the same alphabet. like in German. And now I have to remember or try to remember also how it's written. So it's a learning by sound and a learning by vision. So you try to remember the characters. And I think that's why I'm more slowly than usually. And I didn't take a course. I think that's also why I'm so slow, because with the other languages, I always started with a course and get the basics. And then I like, okay, I understand it, so I can do it by myself now. But with Japanese, I haven't taken a course so far. So I tried how far I come with
I
just
see.
The internet.
yeah, it's fine. And it's like a self-challenge, so the all. Yeah, so... So are you, do you think now you are good at hiragana, katakana, and kanji, or?
Kanji, not at all.
English, not at all. I see. Yeah, it's difficult. Oh, yeah. Or yeah,
you're,
many
you're
people say it's kind of very difficult. No, just before, like few years ago, I started a little bit with those writing, with those Japanese writings, katakana and hiragana, but I didn't try any kanji anyway.
Yeah.
But because I didn't practice, so I forgot. So I didn't practice, I forgot everything. I also took Korean basic course.
Wow.
Yeah. But because, so I knew how to write Hangul, those Hangul letters. But because I didn't practice, I forgot.
I see. That's normal.
Yeah, that's normal. So it's if we didn't practice, and then we forgot things. Yeah, so.
So which characters is used in Indonesian Bahasa? You said is the
Romans letters
Roman.
For Indonesians, Roman letters, but for. yes, it's easier. Yeah, I think Indonesian is one of the easiest. Languages to learn in the world, I think.
You think? Okay, why?
Yeah, because of the structure. We don't have a lot of those kind of tenses, no? We don't have like specific tenses like English has. English has like around 12 or so tenses, but Indonesian doesn't have it. And also we don't have, I can say we don't have like complicated grammars. But I think for foreigners who want to who want to learn Indonesian, they're like a specific pronunciation.
For example
in the verb, in some verbs, like there is like a little stop in the first that many foreigners is need like a little bit effort to cope with.
Okay.
So for example, like menyanyi, for example, Sumba spell menyanyi.
Menya.
I think for Spanish speakers, it's easier, or because they have mañana, right?
Yeah, right.
Mañana, mañana, and so on. Español, ño. But for others, speakers, I think out and non-Indonesian speakers, for example, I don't know, English speakers, so on. It can be like a struggle to pronounce nya, or what do you think? Menyanyi, menggosok.
Menggosok, okay.
Can you pronounce it? Where? Menggosok.
Menggosok?
Yeah, wow, good.
Okay.
Menyanyi. Yeah, it can be difficult for certain people, right? Or what do you think? Get only those kind of stuff. But when it comes to grammar, I think it's not that complicated.
I like that. So what I hate about languages are exceptions in the grammar. That's the worst.
Yes.
Like if you don't know, okay, how and why, you're like, okay, just accept it, learn it, and there's no logic behind that.
Yeah, sure. And in Indonesia, We also have like a lot of, besides Indonesian as our national language, we also have a lot of local languages here.
Can you tell me more about this? You told me back then when we talk, but wow, it's, I just remember the number 700 languages. That was like, was it right or?
So we around those amounts, so yeah, around this kind of amount, so we have like based on the data from the education and culture, Ministry of Education and Culture of Republic Indonesia we have like around 718 local languages.
Whoa, okay, that's a lot.
A lot. So we are in the second place in the world as one of the languages with the most local languages. So the first country is Papua New Guinea with 840 local languages, and then the next is Indonesia with 718 local languages.
Papua New Guinea is so small, actually, right?
Yes, actually, but they have a lot of local languages. Can you imagine 840? So many.
Wow. How comes that Indonesia has so many languages? Are there so many different, how you say? I don't know the English.
Ethnics?
Word. Yeah, ethnics. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, we have like a lot of ethnics here. Yeah, in Indonesia. And now we also, yeah, so first of all, besides talking about ethnic, hang on, we have actually now 38 provinces. And in 38 provinces we have a lot of ethnics. I don't remember how many ethnics, actually, so many.
Many, yeah.
And besides ethnics, yeah, we have those local languages. So, Javanese and not only Javanese, Balinese, Sundanese, Bataknese, and so on, a lot of
these
languages.
These are the bigger groups, yeah? Bigger languages.
But
up to 718.
718. So no, not. I'm not sure whether they are the biggest group
the
or something.
You know. Okay.
But those are the ones that I know. But I also know some other languages from my hometown, for example. So as I told you before, I come from an island called Halmahera. It's in eastern. It's in eastern Indonesia.
Eastern Indonesia.
And we also have. Some, or I can say many local languages there, and I'm able to speak two local languages from my hometown.
Okay, even at your hometown, you speak two different languages.
Yes, the one is like I can say like traditional one.
We
call it Galela language.
Galela language.
But it's very seldom for us to talk in my home. Yeah, in my house, it's very seldom to talk or to speak this language. Once in a while, we speak this language. But the local language that we normally speak every day is that Malay Halmahera is like the daily language that we use there.
Okay, Malay Halmahera.
Malay Halmahera is like the daily language that we use there. And then, I'm able to speak those two languages besides Indonesian as my national language.
Okay, that's interesting. And which languages did you learn at school? I forgot the name.
Halmahera?
Halmahera or the Bahasa?
Bahasa?
Bahasa. Which language did you learn in school when you were small?
Okay, first in elementary school I studied Indonesian.
Okay.
Yeah, I studied Indonesian, and then started in junior high school I studied English.
Ah, I see. I see. Okay.
English, yes. But now I... Sorry?
So the local languages you didn't learn at school?
That time, no. Yes, that time. Yeah, that time, no. But I also heard information that in some schools, not only in my hometown, but in some schools out of my hometown, local language now are being taught.
Oh, that's cool.
And I think it's very important because besides learning foreign language, yeah, I think it's also important to learn our local languages.
Yeah.
Because it's a part of our culture.
Sure.
So, yeah. I also want to make sure to myself that, okay, keep learning the local languages, even though I like foreign languages, but I also really love local languages.
Yeah.
So I want to keep balance.
Yeah, that's really important.
I've had a
similar conversation in Mexico, where I didn't know that there are local languages in Mexico. This is also a struggle because English is somehow the cool thing you have to learn, and that's why the local languages become less and less important or attractive, or I don't know. And with time, it's getting lost. And yeah, it's important to keep them alive because every language has its own charm and beauty, and yeah.
Sure, yes. And as I said before, I want to keep it balanced. I want to keep learning my local languages and also keep learning the foreign languages. Local languages from my hometown, I meant.
Sure.
Yeah. How about you? Do you speak Vietnamese?
I speak with my parents, so that's my way not to forget my roots, and
and
that's the only way. Somehow we don't have many Vietnamese people, and even if they're here, they speak all German because we grew up in German. So the generation who grew up here just talks German. And yeah, it's also important that we somehow keep that. And yeah, that's my way how I solve this. And yeah, not forget it. It's important.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah, that's great. And I think Vietnamese has its own letters, or like. Not like Romans letters.
No, also Roman letters.
Also Roman letters.
Right.
Ah. Right. What is the easiest part and the difficult part? The easiest part and the most difficult part of Vietnamese?
I think the easiest part.
What
is
do you
also
think?
Like Indonesian, you don't have tenses, the grammar structures. I think it's also easy. I've never thought about grammar in Vietnamese, but I think it's. Should be not that complicated, I hope. But the hardest part, I think, is the pronunciation. Because you have, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 ways to pronounce a word, depending on which characters you put in the Latin words. So, for non-native speakers, it's nearly impossible, or I would say it's hard to pronounce it correctly. But I also heard some YouTube videos where non-natives speak it perfectly. I think it's possible, but with a lot of practice. But there was a funny story back then at school. So there was another Vietnamese in my school. And one of our friends asked the other, how can I insult the other in Vietnamese, and he told him, and then he went to me and tried to insult me, but I didn't understand it.
Oh,
because of the pronunciation.
I see. Okay.
And I go back to the other one. What did you wanted? What did you told him? And I see. And yeah, that was funny because even insulting in Vietnamese is not that easy.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, pronunciation is the hardest part in this language, but
sure.
Yeah.
I see. Pronunciation as the easy stuff is that no complex grammar.
Mm-hmm.
And the hardest part is the pronunciation.
That's right. That's right.
I see. Yeah. Oh, I thought Vietnamese has its own letters, but actually not, right? It's just this language also uses Romance.
Right.
Romance letters.
That's right.
So,
that's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's easier anyway.
Right.
Because if you study or learn language and it has its own letters besides Romance, oh, it's another struggle.
Yeah.
Or what do you think?
I imagine if it's like kanji, I would be crazy.
Yeah. I see.
Kanji
yeah.
has no roots. Kanji is like, I don't know, maybe in the future I see some rules or logic behind that, but for me now it's like a mess.
I see, yeah. So how good are you now at katakana and hiragana?
I think I'm okay.
Are you able to memorize them well now? Do you think that you are really good at them now, or
I think I'm
what do you think?
I'm not that
about
good
your
at
progress?
Katakana. I'm not good at katakana, I see. To be honest. Hiragana mm-hmm. is now I think I'm better at it. Sometimes mm-hmm. there are times where I thought I already knew that character and I look at that and I was like, ah, what is that again? Because somehow I remembered it from the context or from the word mm-hmm. and was like, okay, mm-hmm. the first two letters, okay, that's that word. And the last parts, I didn't look at it clearly. And then in another configuration, you like, okay, I've already seen that character, but somehow I forgot. And that's my struggle with this.
Yeah.
But I found out if I type it, so now I'm trying to type my own small sentences. And with this doing so, like, I think they call it active learning. So if you really use this active learning process, you want to write something or you want to use the hiragana characters, I think I get better at remembering it. And at katakana, I didn't use that much, so that's why I think I still struggle with katakana, or I need my table more often.
I see. Yeah. I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great and fun. Sure.
Yeah. So.
What else?
We had now we talk so much about languages, maybe in the last part we can switch a little bit to culture. Thought about also talk about comparison between Indonesia and Germany, and what's your picture of Germany, or what do you already know about the German culture? What's even typical German culture for you? That would be interesting.
Okay. So far, yeah. When thinking about Germany, Germany or German, two things that come to my mind are punctuality.
Okay.
And direct stuff. Like direct stuff, and yeah, those two things,
direct
punctuality,
okay.
And direct. So when it comes to I don't know 100% the situation there because so far I haven't been there. I will be there, but I haven't been there before, or I was not there before, but I heard the punctuality is very intense there.
Yeah, it's okay.
Right, or...
it's okay.
Or, yeah, people are more direct. It's fine, right, to say that.
Yeah.
People are more direct, yeah, and they say what they want to say. They say what they need to say. And in Indonesia, yes, we in certain cases we are punctual, of course, but in more relaxed manner, I think. in more relaxing manner.
What's still okay for you? So how many minutes late is still okay or is normal?
Depends on what kind of. Depends on the urgency of the meeting anyway, right? So for me,
like not business but still, if it's normal, so not friends but also not business, somewhere still important but not that important.
So it depends, for me it depends on the urgency,
mm-hmm.
and also the reason. For example, if they are late or something, or when we are late, sure. We have the reasons, like the reasons behind why we are late or so on.
Mm-hmm.
So for me depends on the urgency, as I said before, and also the reasons.
I see.
I think by seeing this, we also can decide the level of our tolerance.
Yeah, sure. Just to have a feeling. How late is late, or how late is still okay? So, yeah, depends on the context, right? So,
yeah, it depends on the situation.
Yeah, if you have,
and also,
if you meet friends, it's another story. If you have, I don't know, a job interview, right?
Yeah, it's kind of different, yes.
Mm.
And for example. In the friendship meeting or something like that, if it's too late, if you already decided the time, for example, and they come too late, of course it can be something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as I said before, it also depends on the, we can understand that depends on the reason,
mm-hmm.
the reason behind why they're late and so on. But when it comes to this kind of meeting, I'm not very strict anyway. Mm. Like, yeah, it's okay sometimes or once in a while to be late or mm-hmm. something. Yeah, but of course, being late every time we have a meeting is also not nice or some, or sure. What do you think?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
At least urgency, right, you're late. I think that's good.
Yes. Yes, sure. Yeah. The reason and the urgency, yeah, genau.
Yeah. How about directness? Yeah, so those...
directness. What I meant is direct. Like...
How direct are Indonesian people in your experiences?
So I think when we want to say something, we still think like, okay, when I say this, is it good? Is this... offended to the other people or not? So, for example, when I say something, when I want to say something, I'm still thinking like, okay. Most of the time, I'm still thinking like, okay, is this offended or not to the other person? Yeah, to the other people or not?
Mm-hmm.
I'm still thinking about those kind of thing. But I heard, I don't know whether it's. But I also have experiences with my someone, actually. Yeah, so when it comes to, I'm not talking about all of German people. Okay, let's say certain German people or something like that, because I don't want to generalize or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So when it comes to certain German, but I think they just said what they want to say without thinking like, okay, my words will offend the other or not, like they just say your feeling, what they think, and then is it okay to say they don't care whether the other people feel offended or not? That's what I meant as direct, like they say what they think directly without thinking too much. Okay, this will hurt or offend other people. They don't have this kind of point or something like that.
I see. Yeah. Interesting. So that's the two. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and you, what do you know about Indonesia? What comes to your mind when people, when people say Indonesia to you, or when you read something?
Indonesia.
When you read Indonesia, yeah, what comes to your mind?
First of all, I have to say I don't know much about Indonesia.
Okay.
Except that there's an island or many islands. Many islands.
Yeah, we have more than 17,000 islands.
17,000 islands.
More than 17,000 islands.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And then what else besides having many islands? What else do you know about Indonesia?
Today I've learned you have a great amount of local languages and also
718, yeah.
Or ethnics, you say, right? So I think the culture is very has a lot of variety, so maybe there isn't even one Indonesian culture because there are so many different aspects or different ethnics or groups of people who are involved in this, so that you actually can't say there's one Indonesian culture. And yeah, so the variety maybe. And
how about Bahasa Indonesia? Do you know any sentence or any word?
Was it
saya any maka, Indonesian word?
Saya makan nasi goreng.
Okay, wow. That's great.
I eat rice, which is fried rice, right? Something like that.
I eat fried rice. Saya makan nasi goreng. Okay, that's great.
I can't even say hello or goodbye, but that's the only phrase I've learned. And that guy told me also. Yeah, I don't remember much what he told me, but I think also spicy food is something it's common. Is it? Was it right?
Yeah, spicy food is common here. Even though I'm not into spicy food, but yeah, spicy food is common here. Yeah, we have a lot of foods here.
I don't know. I think that's all.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
And I think, as you said before, that regarding to the culture and language, languages and so on, yes, like every language, whether local or foreign language, they has its own charm anyway, and unique and charm, yeah,
right,
very unique and interesting,
yeah,
and when it comes to culture, like this, the difference and so on, it's also unique, right?
Right.
Even though like there is a big difference or so on or such stuff, let's say like that, but each culture, each country with the culture, it's unique.
Yeah, beautifully said.
Yeah. And
yeah, you want to say something?
Yeah, when talking about this, I'm curious about you. Did you experience cultures? I don't think so, right? Because you were born in Germany. In which city? Berlin or?
No, Hanover.
Hanover, yeah, Hanover. I think you were born there, so you didn't have any kind of cultural shock experience, or? No, not at all.
I was nearly 4 months in Japan. That was my culture shock.
Ah, so you experienced the cultural shock in Japan instead of in Germany.
Yeah. From when I got there and also when I got back.
Wow. In Japan.
Yeah, when I got to Japan, firstly, yeah, it's totally different. And then when I got back, and there are like things you're like, oh. And you look at your own, which things you think are normal, and you're like, oh, that's how we do it. Oh, maybe not the best way to do it.
I see.
And like, oh, yeah, I'm back home. What?
Not... All right. I see.
With some positive emotions, like, oh, yeah, I'm back home. And then something like you see that and you're like, oh, yeah, I'm back home. Like with this negative intonation, you know.
Yeah, what is the thing that made you shock, even very shocked when you were in Japan? Like
when I'm in Japan?
In which city in Japan?
Tokyo.
Ah, Tokyo, the capital city anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me just like one thing that make you...
There are many
yeah,
things.
That made you... Ah, okay. But tell me just one. one thing that made you really shocked.
Really shocked?
But of course not the food, right?
Oh, no, I wanted to say the food. The food was really good.
I like Japanese food service.
Incredible good. And the people are so nice. Really friendly. Mm. And at the same time, very distant. So that's...
Oh, okay.
Strange in two ways. Very nice.
And contradictory, right?
Yeah. So Japan is really a country of many contradictions. You can discover a lot.
And sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah. Wow, very interesting. We have a lot of topics for our discussion today, right?
Yeah, thank you for joining me and also teaching me more about Indonesia. That's really was really interesting. And before we end, I want to ask you if you have a song for me, because I always ask the other people I talk with because I have a playlist in Spotify where I put in each episode I put a song from the person I spoke with. So can you recommend me a good song you like, and maybe in Indonesian, or if you do, maybe not, so a song that you really like, and then I can discover my new taste of music.
Okay, what was the last song that that was recommended to you?
The last song, let me check.
The title of the song.
The title of the last song.
Yeah, that was recommended to you.
Yeah, I have to check it, because it was one month ago, but. I think it was something in French, maybe.
All right.
Let me check. Let me open the playlist. Okay, I have it. Oh, no, it's not French. She talked with me about a French song, but I forgot the name. I think the band was Cure. I forgot it, but we talk about a German song, or more the artist is actually from Austria. But I put it Out of the Dark from Falco in the playlist. Even its title is English, he sing German in the song. That's funny. And we discussed about it, and she recommended
All right.
Bon Amère,
sorry,
I think Bon Amère or let me look.
It says Auf Franzosi, oder?
Yeah, that's right. What was the name? La Bohème.
Oh, wow.
By Charles Aznavour. I don't know.
Okay, I want to recommend you a song from Indonesia anyway. Let me check something
Nice.
For you.
Nice. Out of interest, what German songs do you listen to? Because you said also you practice with German songs, right?
Okay, so I like the German songs from Vincent Weiss.
Who? I didn't know them, I think.
Vincent Weiss, one
Vincent
of...
Vincent Weiss, okay.
His songs, Vincent Weiss.
Mm-hmm. I have to
Vincent
check
Vincent Weiss. Yeah, so one of his best songs, in my opinion, is that Wunder, Unwunder.
Wunder, okay.
Miracle, Unwunder, Miracle.
Uh-huh.
And I also like songs from Namika, Liebling's Mansion.
Okay, yeah.
Liebling's Mansion, Kennst du das Lied?
Yeah, I know that. Mm-hmm.
And also, oh, I forgot the name of the singer. I know from 80 million. I forgot. Do you know do you remember the singer?
What's the name of the song?
I know from 80 million or something.
I know from
1. One from 80 million. One 80. From 80 millions in English.
Okay.
Yeah. I forget the name.
One from a million.
I forget the name of the.
One from million or 80 million? There are two songs.
80 million.
Max Giesinger.
Yeah, again. Yeah, he's the singer. Yes.
I see. Okay, I have to listen to that.
Okay, so do you want. Why?
I didn't know them, so.
Ah, okay. Yeah, they are the singers that I can say that they are my favorite so far.
Yeah.
Because I listen to their songs mostly when I learn German.
Nice.
So I have one Indonesian song.
Oh, yeah.
At first, I had a plan to recommend a German song, but I think now I want to recommend, it's fine, but now I also want to recommend you an Indonesian song.
Uh-huh.
So I hope you can learn something from it too.
Uh-huh.
The name of the group is Leto.
Leto.
And the title of the song is Sandaran Hati. Should I type it for you or?
You can send me the link later. I think that.
Okay, it's fine.
I don't think I can find
okay.
it now. But
kind problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah.
And what's the meaning of the title?
Sandaran Hati is like. Let me check. It's a bit poetic anyway.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's like, I don't think so. It's like heart backup.
Heart backup?
In English, it's like heart backup. So it's like a place where you can rest your heart.
Oh, interesting.
A place for your heart to rest. So it's kind, for me, it's a kind of poetic. I really like almost all of the songs from this group.
Mm-hmm.
So Sandaran Hati, I think it's like the place where your heart can rest.
Really nice. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to send you the link anyway later.
Thank you. So Desi, thank
You're
you
welcome.
For joining me today.
Okay.
It was really fun and I learned a lot and yeah.
Me thank too. You. I learned a lot. I enjoyed
mm-hmm.
our discussions and sharing. Thank
nice.
You so much. Vielen Dank.
Yeah, thanks. And yeah, see you soon. Bye.
Yeah, see you. Bye.
That's it for today's episode. If you like this episode, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on the Apple Podcasts website if you don't use an iPhone. There's a link in the show notes. If you got any thoughts on this episode or any ideas for new podcast topics, feel free to send a voice message. Alternatively, you can drop a tweet or DM on Twitter. Maybe you even like to join for an episode. Links are also in the show notes. Thank you for listening and see you next time.